Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through chapter 10, verse 5. The Reverend Peter Ill is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So, run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hearing this reading, you can't help but think about our current context. It's not often that this reading comes around in the middle of an international sporting competition fraught with its questions about disqualification. It seems that St. Paul is familiar with some kind of sporting competition, if not the Olympics, perhaps a more regional set of games closer to Corinth. That it certainly includes running and boxing. But when Paul talks about being disqualified, he's not talking about being ruled out of the race or out of the medal count. Paul is talking about something worse, losing. Athletes discipline their bodies in order that they don't lose. Paul doesn't want to lose the salvation that God has given to him. Pause for a second, though. This reading is structurally interesting because it, at first glance, looks like a reading, well, it looks like two readings that are smashed together, but they're not. This is one reading with two separate parts. The first part is Paul's example about athletic competition and missing out by losing. But the second part is Paul's warning that the fathers that he shares with the people of faith, have lost and missed out because God was not pleased with their idolatry and overthrew them in the wilderness. In other words, this reading carries much, much more weight than having a metaphor to the Olympic Games. Some hardline athletes are fans of the cliche, second place is just another way of saying the first loser. It's a harsh statement and it's not very good sportsmanship. And it might not make too many friends, but it fits in with Paul's brusque manner of speaking. Paul even refers to discipline, using the word hippopazo, which means torment or treat roughly or even punch in the face. If an athlete is willing to beat his body to train it, how much more should the people of God be dedicated to what they receive? Paul mentions that God baptized his people under the cloud and through the sea into Moses. And God provided spiritual food and spiritual drink for them, and still God overthrew many of them in the wilderness. God even says in Psalm 95 that he loathed this generation. Why were they overthrown? For their idolatry. They received the gifts of God, including the very present Christ, going through the wilderness with them, the rock who gave them their spiritual drink, and still they fell into idolatry. Boy, is it a good thing that we're not like them. We always recognize how good we have it. We never overlook the gifts of God, and we never distort God's gifts. Discipline and faithfulness to God are prime characteristics of us. We receive God's gifts and never take them for granted. Except that whole line of thinking that we're so quick to latch onto is a lie. Paul references the fathers of the Israelites because there is nothing new under the sun, and we are just as guilty of being curved in on ourselves in our sinfulness and being just as idolatrous as they are. And they are a fair and fitting warning for us. We certainly do not always recognize God's goodness. Sometimes, maybe even oftentimes, treating the glory of God and baptism into his name like it's no big deal. God provides spiritual food and spiritual drink for us, even in the present crucified and resurrected body of Jesus, and still we're vulnerable to our own sinfulness. And so St. Paul writes, somewhat harshly, as a vulnerable person writing to vulnerable people, don't ignore that the gift that you have. If an athlete can discipline their body, if an apostle of Jesus agonizes over his own faithfulness, then the church of God is vulnerable too. And the church of God is called to a single-minded focus on the present Christ, who is with his church, the spiritual rock who gives you every good gift. It would be easy to stand here and say, in criticism, that there are those out there who talk about a post-Christian church with less or even no emphasis on the Christ. But realistically, this morning, we don't need to go out there or very far afield at all to find condemnation. Your own sinful flesh tempts you and taunts you that you don't really need that much Jesus. A little bit less Jesus would probably be okay. I mean, after all, you work for an international church body and you even made it to chapel. Certainly, you have enough Jesus today, your flesh says. How dare a preacher accuse you, of being curved in on yourself and needing more Jesus? But in your sinfulness, that's exactly how you are. Selfish and self-centered, focus on yourself, and vulnerable to being overthrown by God's judgment of your sinfulness and your idolatry. This morning, just like every morning, there is one answer to your sinfulness. Jesus Christ, the rock upon whom the church is built. Paul says that Jesus Christ is the spiritual following rock, accompanying the people of Israel through the wilderness. Your faithful Lord Jesus follows vulnerable people through the wilderness when they have sinful flesh. Your Lord Jesus brings spiritual food and spiritual drink. Your Lord Jesus desires to keep you from self-centeredness and idolatry and pride. It is for that very reason that your Lord Jesus died for you. You haven't disciplined yourself enough. You are vulnerable to your sinfulness. But Jesus himself was treated roughly and tormented, even struck in the face and nailed to a cross for you. Your Lord Jesus did that because he is your only hope, your only rock, your only salvation. He wins his grace for you, and he gives it to you as the spiritual following rock that gives you the imperishable crown of eternal life, from which, in which he keeps you and will not let you be disqualified, and promises to keep you in his grace today, tomorrow, and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.